the good news that Jesus Christ has come into the world to save His people from their sins. That's what we're here to proclaim. Now, there are other voices out there that are proclaiming that Jesus Christ came to make it possible that all men would be saved. There's people out there that are making claims that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world. The only problem with that is John 3:16 doesn't say that. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Not that the whole world, that He died for the whole world without exception. He did make an exception. What was the exception? "The whosoever is that believeth on Him." And who are the whosoevers? Who are the whosoevers that believe on Him? Well, according to John 6:29, it says that this is the work of God, that you should believe on Him. So belief does not come from you. Belief comes from God. Do you believe me? Well, you don't have to believe me. Believe the Bible. Hebrews 12:1. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. You're not the author and finisher of your faith. He is. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not your free will, which doesn't exist. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. All that the Father hath given him will come to him, and all that come to him he will in no wise cast out. I am the vine, you are the branches. The free willers want to try to make themselves the vine. Maybe God's clear out there on the end as a little twig. Sorry, He's the vine, you're the branches. Foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, He knows who are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, I found it real amazing. I shouldn't have. I put a message. This message has been on sermon audio, I think, for about 4 years, 5 years. In 5 years, it's got 280 downloads. That's not very many downloads in 5 years, folks. That's about 50 a year. And it only got listened to one time, I think. One or two times today on sermon audio. People do not want to hear a message about should there be rules regarding the conduct of our dress in the church. People don't want to hear it. Anybody that brings up about someone should dress modest is considered lustful, they're not in charge of their own thoughts. I even had a person tell me that it didn't matter how she dressed, my thoughts should be able to control regardless of how she dressed. Well, then, if that were the case, then why did Adam and Eve clothe them with fig leaves in the Garden of Eden? Why didn't he just leave them naked? It's amazing the crazy things people come up with. People don't want to be accountable. I've had more people say to me, "I'm not accountable to you. I'm accountable to God." I had a Primitive Baptist elder tell me that. I recently had another person tell me that in the last 24 hours. I shouldn't ask your forgiveness for anything. I should ask God. Well, you're accountable to your Christian brother and or sister. And if you have offended someone, it's not going to hurt your pride if you're a Christian to ask them, look, I'm sorry if I've offended you. Will you forgive me? And I'm sure that they would. Anyway, that's my little starting this evening. Now, maybe somebody will hear this message and listen to it. Maybe they'll see it, and maybe they'll click on it and listen to it. But that's a God thing. God's in control of that, whether you listen or not. And I've been given a little sheet here. It's got two little selections on it. I'm going to put it up there so you can see it. I'm not good at posting stuff. Here we go. Page 150 and page 308. Is that in the old school hymnal? Okay. Now I've got to turn the camera around on the other crowd. We've got quite a crowd here tonight. Church is clear full. For two or three are gathered in my name. There I am in the midst of them. Are my feet showing? Okay, the first one is 150 we're going to sing. And the next one is 308. 150. 150. Winds of Zion is chosen of God. Spirits are filled with dismay, since ye have eternal redemption through blood. Cannot behold on your way, as Jesus in covenant love did engage. Fullness of grace to display the powers of darkness and malice may raise. The righteous shall hold on his way. This truth, like its sound, eternal sand. All things in nature decay, upheld by Jehovah's omnipotent hand. Righteous shall hold on his way. Of temptation be tossed, sorrows may swell as the sea, but none of the rights from shall ever be lost. Righteous shall hold on his way. Surrounded with sorrows, temptations, and cares, truth with delight we obey, and sing as we pass through this valley of tears. Righteous shall hold on his way. You think I could get you to turn that light on back there? I can't quite see. I'm having problems seeing tonight. Next one is going to be page 308. Now, I posted, just so you know, on Facebook, if you're a Presbyterian or a Calvinist and you don't like hymns, I'm sorry. And if you're a Baptist and you don't like Psalms, I'm sorry. We go by the Bible, and the Bible says, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, so that's why they're both on there. So you good old Presbyterians got all upset when you saw me post some spiritual songs on there. I'm sorry about that. And if you old Baptists are upset because I got some psalms on there, I'm sorry about that. Get used to it. Okay. 308. Savior, visit thy plantation. Grant us, Lord, a gracious rain. All will come to desolation unless thou return again. Lord, revive us, Lord, revive us. All our help must come from thee. Lord, revive us, oh, revive us. All our help must come from thee.
Keep no longer at a distance. Shine upon us from on high. Bless for one of thine assistance. Every plant should droop and die. Surely once thy gardens flourished, every fire was gay and green. Then thy word our spirits nourished, happy seasons we have seen. Dearest Savior, hasten hither, thou canst make them bloom again. Open man them not to wither, let not all our hopes be vain. Lord, revive us, Lord, revive us, all our help must come from thee. Lord, revive us, Lord, revive us, all our help must come from thee.
I want to sing this song. Now, I want to just say something about this song before we sing it. And that is that God does have an effectual calling to the believer. 492 is what we're going to be singing. 492. He does have an effectual calling to the believer. But nobody's going to believe, and nobody's going to hear, and nobody's going to see if something doesn't happen. You know, when we say, come unto me, all ye that weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Obviously, the only way anyone is going to come unto Jesus, by the way, this was written by a black author. I like this song a lot. It's taken from the 11th chapter of Matthew. But Jesus is the one that does the calling. Jesus is the one that does the calling. If there's any altar calls, it's by Jesus. And he is going to call you out of death into life. Hear the blessed Savior calling thee oppressed. O ye heavy laden, come to me and rest. Come no longer tarry, I your load will bear. Bring me every burden, bring me every care. Come unto me, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my mind. Come, my yoke is easy, and my burden's light. Are you disappointed, wandering here and there, dragging chains of doubt and loaded down with care? You unholy feeling, struggle in your breast. Bring your case to Jesus, he will give you rest. Have you cares of business, cares of pressing debt, cares of life, or cares of hope unmet? Are you by remorse or sense of guilt depressed? Come right on to Jesus, he will give you rest. Have you by temptation often conquered been? Has a sense of weakness brought distress within? Christ will sanctify you, he will claim his best. In the Holy Spirit, he will give you rest. Come unto me. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed.
I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my mind. Come, my yoke is easy, and my burden's light.
Dear Lord, we pray that you would be with us in this service tonight. We pray that you would encourage our hearts. And we pray that you would grant unto us your Holy Spirit that would lead and guide us, direct us in our thoughts, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. You know, there's a lot of talk about today about prophecy. And I'm not against prophecy. In fact, I tell people that one of the greatest things that was instrumental in me coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ was studying the messianic prophecies. The Old Testament is talking about the coming of Jesus Christ and the fact that this was 2,000 years ago. And they were talking about the child would be born of a virgin. And then, of course, Isaiah, talking about in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquity, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned everyone into his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, I do not believe in double jeopardy. When it says the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, I believe the iniquity of the ones that he died for, okay, will not go to hell. I believe the ones that he died for, he paid for their sins. Jesus paid it all. You know, he paid it all. He didn't just make a partial payment. You know, they used to have this thing, you'd go in around the holiday time and you'd put a certain amount down, and then when you go in and pay the rest of it off, you'd get, what'd they call that? Layaway. Put something in lay. Christ did not put his atonement in layaway until you made a decision. God did not put your atonement in layaway. He paid it, and he paid it all. That's why he said on the cross, "It is finished." There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, who mind not the things of the flesh. But again, we're going to look at a passage tonight in the second chapter of Joel. Now, people want to talk about, you know, the problem with the churches today, easy believism, and also the problems with, you know, with the, they call it the new Calvinism, and the lack of real substance within the church. You know, we're told that they would be turned into fables. I was looking on somebody's Facebook and was asking what they read. I don't like Facebook in that regard, because a lot of times they'll put stuff up there that you never put up there. They'll just automatically put it there because you haven't put something there. So if you see anything like that on my Facebook, I didn't put it there, okay? But this person put in there that their favorite book was the Harry Potter series. Well, here in Joel, Joel is showing the terribleness of God's judgment. He also is exhorting the people to repentance. That's kind of a foreign word anymore, isn't it? Repentance. Isn't there some a passage that says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins? Repent and believe the gospel? Repentance signifies a turning away from. Okay, a turning away from sin. A remorse over sin. When someone is sorrowful over their sin, they repent of it and turn from it and go the other direction. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. The apostles preach the imminent return of Jesus Christ. And here we are, February the 15th, 2015. 2015 years since the death of Christ. 2015 years. Are we not nearer the return of Christ now than when the apostles preached it? We're 2015 years nearer. And he says here, blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is in the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. Nothing shall escape them. Now jumping down to the sixth verse, before their faces, the people shall be much pain. All faces shall gather blackness. The ninth verse says, they shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark. And the stars shall withdraw from shining, from their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. For his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth the word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a feast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people and sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and those that suck the breast, lest the bridegroom go forth out of the chamber and the bride out of her closet. Now, Joel is giving an exhortation to the people to repent of their backslidings and to return to God. That's what he's doing. He says, if they will do this, the 18th verse, then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will appear and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. Now, a lot of people use this particular passage to justify, in this current day, tongue speaking and women preachers. Okay? I want to read a passage in the 28th verse. It says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Now, one of the things that we have to do then is we have to properly interpret the Word of God, specifically in the 28th verse there, and it is properly interpreted in Acts 2:17, where he's talking about the daughters prophesying. So we have to go back to the second chapter of Acts. So we'll go back now and we'll look in the second chapter of Acts. Now, we go back there, we go down to 17th verse, and he says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now, in verse 16, okay, again, this is Peter talking here. And in verse 16, Peter says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. That's what he said. This is that. That was back approximately 2,000 years ago when Peter spoke this. Are you with me? 2,000 years ago, Peter said, this is that. Now, I'm not going to get into a long dissertation tonight, but what I am trying to say is that that scripture has been misapplied for today regarding women preachers. I don't believe there were women preachers back in even Peter's day. Okay. And I believe that that was a one-time event. But it's never a one-time event to repent. It's never a one-time event to be sorrowful over our sins. It's never a one-time event to fall on our faces before God and pour out our hearts to Him. We see when Jonah was commanded to go down and preach in Nineveh that he preached that they were going to be destroyed if they did not repent, and they did repent, and God showed them mercy for a while. Here Joel says, if you do that, God is slow to anger, and he is long-suffering. And it's the same God that showed mercy to Nineveh that will show mercy to us today. We turn from our sins and we trust the living God to show us mercy. Why do you think that we have in the Bible the passage of Scripture that says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness? We are in a non-confessing of sins day. We are in a day where people will not admit that they have sin in their life. We are living in a day where people deny that they are in violation of God's law. We're living in a day today when sin is not preached. Joel Osteen himself said on a worldwide talk show, "I don't preach on sin. I just want everybody to have a good day." Well, if you want everybody to have a good day, Joel Osteen, start preaching against sin. Start preaching against divorce and remarriage and fornication and homosexuality. Quit trying to take a middle-of-the-road approach. If you want to have people to have a good day, Joel Osteen, preach upon lying and stealing and covetousness and bearing false witness against your neighbor and committing adultery and taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain and worshiping and sacrificing to idols. That's what we need to be preaching on today. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You know, love your neighbor as yourself. All we want to hear today is tolerance, which is a lie from the devil. Tolerance. Tolerance is going along with sin. That's my definition of tolerance. Going along with sin. It's never right to go along with sin. It's never right to lie, cheat, steal, commit adultery, bear false witness against your neighbor, practice idolatry, take the name of the Lord your God in vain. It's never right to do those things. So today we need to think on these things and we need to realize that God is long-suffering to us if we will go to Him, if we will confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we say we don't have any sin, the truth is not in us. That's the problem today. People are saying they, by their actions, they don't have any sin. Who made you a ruler and judge over us? Judge not, lest ye be judged. The Bible tells us to judge righteous judgment. Know ye not that you will judge angels? The Bible tells us. Another portion says, you eat and devour one another and take one another to the courts of the land, and you should be settling it in out of court between Christian brother and sister and brother and brother and sister and sister. I'm paraphrasing. So, tonight, let us think on these things and let us not cause more and more animosity between Christian brothers and sisters when we sin. Let us be quick to go to that brother or sister, and if we've offended them, let us ask them to please forgive us if they have offended us. And I'm sure they will be quick to say, "You're forgiven. I accept your apology." The problem is people don't want to apologize because they've been taught for so long that if you apologize, that's a sign of weakness. The way the Bible talks and teaches that when one apologizes, that is a sign of spiritual strength. I saw something I thought was good. It showed a picture of a person who had, representing a person who had sinned, going to the prayer closet as a whipped kitten. And then when they were coming out of the prayer closet, they were coming out as a roaring lion. You know, prayer is spiritual strength for the Christian. We cannot stand in our own strength. It's impossible. The only way we can stand is on our knees. Remember that song, "You Can't Even Walk Without Holding His Hand"? And there's a lot of people out there that have the idea that if they ever acknowledge the fact that they're weak, or they're a failure, or they struggle with sin, that that's a sign of weakness. It's not a sign of weakness. There's a song that I used to play on the piano, and I still like it. It's called "He Is Able." He is able. I know the Lord is able. I know the Lord is able to carry me through. He healed the brokenhearted. He sets the captive free. He raised the dead to life again. He did the same for me. He's able. He's able. I know the Lord is able to carry me through. We can't carry ourselves. It's an impossibility to carry ourselves. There's more with us than be with Him. We're on the winning side. Banners unfurled will tell the whole world, "My free will is captain and guide." No. That's what people are saying. Jesus is captain and guide. There's none to fear when He is near, though fierce the conflict may be. We won't give in the fight against sin. With Christ, there's victory. There's more with us than be with Him. Lord, open our eyes to see. With mountains around, there's chariots abound. We're trusting in our free will. That's the problem today. We're trusting alone in Thee. The devil may boast. That's what the free willers are doing. They're boasting. The devil may boast and marshal his host. That's the way I feel. All the free willers are ganging up on me. The devil may boast and marshal his host and fight in the battle array, but Christ in the lead, we're sure to succeed. We're certain to win the day. But if we're trusting in our own righteousness, if we're trusting in our own strength, if we're trusting in our own free will, if we're trusting in our own resolve, why is it around the holidays, around New Year's Day, everybody wants to make these resolutions? I resolve. I remember I used to like this song when I was a kid. One of the first churches that my mom and dad took me to was a fire-baptized holiness church. And this song is in the praise and worship hymnal. And I used to like it. I didn't know what it was all about. It was a catchy little song. "I am resolved to go to the Savior," and so on. It's all "I am resolved, I am resolved, I am resolved." You know, it's, and I also remember I would select that song because I liked the tune of the song. And my older brother, his favorite song was "It Is Mine." That's a lot more doctrinally correct, isn't it? It is mine, this blessed treasure, ever blessed is his name. He has given peace, perfect peace to me. It is mine, this blessed treasure, ever precious, blessed be his name, and for all eternity. And then, you think of some of these songs that we sing. Another song I used to like. I used to pick this one all the time, and I still like it, because it gives me hope for the future. And I used to select it all the time, and it was, Farther Along, We'll Know All About It. You know, there's a person in my family, I won't mention her name, but she doesn't like that song very well. Farther along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. When we see Jesus coming in glory. You hear that? When we see Jesus coming in glory. No secret rapture. He'll take us home to his home in the sky. You know. Anyway, so let us remember that we cannot walk in our own strength, and we have to rely upon our Savior, our Lord, and our King. Do we have a final selection? Rosette wants to sing 310. Okay, 310. 310. Was in the night when trouble came, I saw my God for me,
but found a refuge that was afforded me. I sought thee, but
I found thee not, for all was dark within. Thy tender mercy I forgot, to me when dead in sin. I saw those days are in the skies, wrapped in perpetual blue. I said, when will that sun arise, that shall my soul illume? With cords of his eternal love, 'twas thus my soul he drew, and taught my faithless heart to prove his oath and promise true.
Father, we pray that you would be with us this week. Help us to remember that we have a mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, that you're the advocate, you're our high priest, and when we sin, you are our advocate, and you are our high priest. Help us to always remember this, we ask you.